Today's focus is why Christianity? What makes Christianity different, unique, and right? There are more than 3,000 religions in the world today. How does one have any kind of assurance that the path they choose is right? The stakes are high. At risk is one's eternal future. Your choice regarding your faith has important, even eternal, ramifications. Let me share why I believe Christianity is the right choice and how it stands apart and above the other religions of the world today. Number one, Christianity is good science. It has been verified to be true by archaeologists, by historians, by individuals who have researched the prophetic record, and by scientists. The Bible is in sync with the scientific record. The process or the order of creation that is presented in Genesis chapter 1 matches the scientific record. Science has verified that the universe is not eternal. Science has verified that the order or the process of creation matches Genesis chapter 1. Scientists have verified in the last 500 years that the earth is a globe, something that the prophet Isaiah noted 2,700 years ago. Archaeological finds have verified the biblical record to be true. Individuals who have researched the prophetic record have found that there are about 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. About 900 of these have already come to pass and have been verified to be 100% accurate and true. The biblical record for accuracy is 100%. And so if one will objectively and purely research Christianity, they will find that Christianity is unique. It is unique in its writings. It is unique in that it has been researched from an archaeological point of view. It is unique in that its history is correct. It is unique in the structure of its writings, written over a period of 40 generations, written by scores of different writers, having various degrees of education and different kinds of background, and yet, within the biblical record, there are no contradictions. The writing is absolutely seamless. Christianity is unique in that it is supported by the scientific record. It is bad science to believe that we are the result of natural evolution or random chance mutations. Oxford statistician Roger Penrose wrote, "The odds of an explosion of energy producing the exact specific conditions necessary for an environment suitable for life are 10 to the 10th power times 10 to the 123rd power. That is 1 in a billion, 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 repeated more than a billion, billion times. And just to repeat that number out loud would take 18 billion years. It is bad science to believe that we are the result of natural evolution. Number two, it's bad science because it's not supported in the fossil record. There is no evidence in the fossil record of one species morphing or transitioning into another species. Christianity is different and it stands apart because it is supported by the scientific record and by the writings and the findings of historians. The study of world religions is sometimes difficult because there are many common terms. Many religions believe in a heaven. Many believe in the importance of living a life marked by integrity and character and love and service. And those are all good things. And because many religions teach about love or giving or sacrifice, many teach that all religions are equally valid. Yes, as one studies world religions, one will find many similarities. But more important than identifying the similarities is the need to identify the differences. You see, it is important to recognize how Satan works. He is the master of subterfuge, and he knows the power in twisting things just a little bit, just enough so that we get off track, and in the end, we walk down a wrong path. It is said that a spacecraft on its way to Mars, if it is off in its trajectory, 0.5%. By the time you get to Mars, 40-something million miles away, you're going to be off by thousands and thousands of miles. And it's going to make a big difference in the end. Yes, there are similarities in the world religions, but more important than that is the fact that there are significant differences. And these differences center on who is Jesus Christ. Christianity is the only religion that believes in the deity of Jesus Christ. And that is important. That, my friend, is key. Because it is that truth, understanding and embracing who Jesus is, where he came from, that he lived a sinless life, that he offered himself up on the cross by his own free will and then rose again on the third day so that all of humanity could be brought back into a right relationship with God. I know I'm talking about some heavy things right now, but that's the core teaching of Christianity, that Jesus is in fact Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh. Not that he was like God, or he spoke the truth of God, or that he fulfilled God's purpose. He was one in purpose with God, but that somehow he was one in essence with God. That God came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ to show us the measure of his love. In philosophy, there is something called the law of non-contradiction. That is, that something cannot be and not be at the same time. It cannot be raining and not raining in the same place at the same time. It must be one or the other. That is a fundamental law of reason. And that fundamental law of reason must be applied to the study of world religions. Yes, there are many similarities in the world religions, but what is most important is who is Jesus Christ. He cannot be just a man and Emmanuel, God with us, at the same time. And as I look at the writings of other religions, I see there is a real focus on comparing the writings of that religion with Christianity, which is odd to me, because if religion X was introducing a new and better and higher truth, it stands to reason that that truth would be new and different and unique. But let me share with you how, rather than writing what is new and different and unique, many religions seek to denigrate or undermine the writings of Christianity. For example, in the Baha'i faith, we read, Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life for his time, but certainly not for our time. The phrase, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, is a quote from John chapter 14. So here the Baha'i faith is attacking the New Testament and the credibility or the validity of Jesus Christ and the central teaching regarding who he is. That he was not just a teacher or a prophet, but he came to establish the way and the truth and the life for all men for all time. Another quote from the Baha'i faith from the book The Wisdom of Abdu'l-Baha. Here's the quote. In the Gospel of John, Jesus promised another comforter who would abide always. That's mostly true. Jesus did not promise another comforter. Jesus promised the comforter. It is very clear in Scripture what or who Jesus was talking about. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. The quote continues, we understand this to be the coming of the Baha'u'llah, which is a direct fulfillment of the words of Jesus. No, I don't understand that when Jesus was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, that he was speaking of a man or a teaching or a religion or a philosophy or something that would help just a few people many centuries after his sacrifice on Calvary. No, this is an attempt to twist and manipulate the New Testament truth. In regard to heaven, the Jehovah's Witness Church teaches that only 144,000 people from all time are going to go to heaven. This contradicts one of the fundamental teachings of Scripture. When Jesus spoke of salvation and eternal life, he always spoke in the broadest terms. John 1:12, for as many as would receive him, to them he, God, gave the right to be called children of God. How many get to be called the children of God? As many as would believe, as many as would receive. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that, and then here's the phrase, that whosoever would believe in him might not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. How many have the hope of eternal or everlasting life? Whosoever would believe. The hope of the cross is all about extending the grace of salvation to all people, not just some, certainly not just 144,000. So the Jehovah Witness will argue, well, all get to have eternal life, just some will live on the earth in physical form and some will live in heaven in a higher form. That's an odd teaching. It has no foundation in Scripture. And when the Apostle Paul speaks of heaven, he says we're either here or we're in heaven with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in one of two places. We are alive here on the earth, or we are dead, and then we are at home with the Lord. There is no third option, another level, like the Mormons teach, some levels of heaven, other places in heaven, other planets, and you can have your own heaven. That has no foundation in Scripture. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, not anywhere else. Taoism teaches that all will go to heaven, and that's a common teaching, that there is no Satan. There is evil, but there's no Satan. There's no personality driving this. There's no hell, and all will go to heaven. The idea of Satan, the idea of hell, these are not new teachings. They go back to the beginning of time. And one of the central teachings in the Old and the New Testament is that heaven is a place where the righteous will go. And we are not made righteous so much by our own works, though we are required to live lives of responsibility and integrity. We are made righteous through our connection with a holy God. So it is those who live well and walk the right path and are connected to the right God who have the hope of heaven and the promise of eternal life. Christianity is different from many world religions because it teaches that God is holy and good, and humanity is not. That in regard to power and righteousness and holiness, there is a huge gap between God and humanity. And Jesus Christ has come to bridge the gap. It is through Jesus that we are elevated, if you will, into a right relationship with God, and we take on His goodness, His holiness, and we have the hope of eternal life. What many world religions do is they seek to elevate man and they diminish God. In Shintoism, we read, quote, deity is immanent in man and man is inherent in deity. There is no difference in essence at all between them. So there is a diminishing of the glory and the power of God, and there's an elevation of humanity. There is no difference in essence between them, that is God and humanity, at all. In Scientology, we read, quote, man is his own immortal soul. The teaching here is we are immortal, but it's not the work of God. God has nothing to do with it. In many Eastern religions, God is kind of diffused. He's not a personal God. He's not the ruler or the creator. He's kind of displaced throughout all of creation. So God is in man, God is in the stone, God is in the tree, God is embodied in all creation. God is less of a personality and more of some kind of life force. In Mormon teaching, we read, quote, God himself was once as we are now and is now an exalted man. In Mormon theology, we could live in this physical form, follow Mormon teaching, make great choices, and in the end be exalted to the state where God is now. We can have our own place, our own planet, and with our spirit bride, we can repopulate that planet, and we will be gods of that place, just as God, Jehovah God, is God of this place. So the only difference between us and God is that he went through this process a long time ago. And so in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 345, the Mormon writing notes, God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. Another way to minimize the uniqueness and the glory of God is to make him one of many gods. In the Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, the prophet Joseph Smith wrote, quote, "In the beginning, the head of the gods named a council of gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people it." So in Mormon theology, God is not unique or truly sovereign. He's just one of many. And in the end, it is possible for us to become gods ourselves. World religions seek to minimize the glory and the uniqueness of God, and many seek to minimize the power and the ramifications of Satan and hell. The Mormon Church does not believe in hell. The Jehovah's Witness Church does not believe in hell. Here's a quote from Zoroastrianism. "Then at the end of time shall occur the collapse of the growth of evil." Christianity teaches that toward the end of time there will be an increase in the growth of evil. But this religion teaches that in the end, man will become more righteous and evil will become less prevalent. Beware. So Christianity is unique because it finds support in science, because it seems to be the foundation stone which other religions point to and pick at, and because Christianity is the only religion that facilitates a relationship between creation and creator. And this is important because about 95% of humanity believes in God. Anthropologists and sociologists note that every civilization has a God component, a God focus. Further, they note that if you go back to the beginning point of these civilizations, you will find a monotheistic theology, the belief in just one God. And so if 95% of the world's population believes in God, if every culture and civilization has had a priority on the worship of God, if at the most fundamental levels every civilization and culture has believed in one God, then it stands to reason that this one God has created us with this innate desire to be drawn into relationship with Him. 95% of the world believes in a God. Now, it's about impossible to get 95% of the world's population to believe in or agree on anything. Which laws are right? Women's roles? How to parent? Language? The existence of Satan? The existence of hell? I mean, really, it's about impossible to get 95% of the world's population to agree on or believe in anything except God. There is something very, very unusual about that statistic. And I believe that statistic points to the truth that we are created to be drawn into relationship with our Creator. Christianity is the only religion that facilitates that. In other world religions, we can do the will of God. We can be the servant of God. We can be the entertainment of the gods. But it is only the teachings of Christianity that provide for a personal relationship with God. That has God not just out there on high, but has God coming down to earth, living for us, teaching us, helping us, showing us the way, giving His life up for us, rising for us, and then extending to us the Holy Spirit, which is His presence, so that we would be in relationship with Him. And not just now, but after we die, we have the hope of heaven and to be in relationship with Him forevermore. This makes Christianity unique. Compare Christianity, which is so focused on building a relationship between Creator and the created, with some of the other world religions. For example, here's a writing from Taoism. Quote, "The Tao is eluding and vague, deep and obscure in essence. The things of God are eluding, they're vague, they're deep, they're obscure." Well, that doesn't sound like that faith facilitates a relationship with God. That religion teaches that the things of God are obscure and vague. Another way that Christianity stands apart from other world religions is the fact that its writings are so unique. The Bible is different than the writings of other world religions. One way that it's different is that it has not changed. The spelling of various words have changed in time. For example, the Old English way of spelling theater is T-H-E-A-T-R-E. The current spelling is T-H-E-A-T-E-R. But though there is a difference in spelling, the meaning has not changed. And though some older translations of the Bible may use some older language, as in the King James translation, sometimes using the word charity, where the more current translation uses the word love, still, that does not impact the meaning or the translation. A side-by-side comparison of the oldest Greek and Hebrew manuscripts against the current translation bears that out. Bottom line, the information presented in the Old Testament and the New Testament has not changed at all with time. And that is not the case in the writings of many world religions today. For example, when you compare the 1830 edition of the Book of Mormon with the 1960 edition, you will find that there are more than 50 changes in a passage in 1 Nephi chapters 19 through 20, and more than 30 changes in the Alma chapters 28 and 29 passage. In the writings of Islam, there are discrepancies and contradictions. For example, in regard to the question, how many days did Allah need to destroy the people of Ayad? One writing says that it took one day, and another writing says it took several days. One writing says that it took God 6 days to create all that there is. Another passage says that it took eight. One passage in the Quran notes that there was one angel sent to visit Mary regarding the birth of Jesus, whereas another passage says there were several angels there. One passage notes that angels cannot disobey the will of Allah, whereas another passage notes how a group of angels rebelled and refused to obey. In regard to the story of Noah and the flood, one passage in the Quran notes that Noah and his family survived the flood. Another passage notes that Noah's sons drowned. If a word is true, if a writing is sacred, it cannot change or be corrected or be updated with time. If a faith presents a word of prophecy or a teaching as coming directly from God and being absolutely true, it is not subject to change. The Jehovah's Witness Church has changed the date for the final coming of Jesus Christ at least 14 times. The Mormon Church has revised a number of its key teachings, teachings that were said to have come from God, teachings regarding people of color, instructions regarding the location of the temple, caffeine, and a number of other points. If a word or a teaching is presented as coming from God, it is not subject to change. If it does change, then there's a fundamental problem with that faith. These are the things that make Christianity different. And any way you look at it, from how it makes you feel, from how it measures up against science, from the impact it has had on society over the ages, from a prophetic research point of view, from an archaeological research point of view, from considering and studying the amazing stability in the unchanging nature of the teaching and the text associated with Christianity. Any way you look at it, any way you study it, you see that Christianity is different, that it stands apart and above all the rest.